to jump in. We're going Genesis 14 today. If you want to follow along in the Bible app, or maybe you brought your Bible, or you just know that we're going to put it up on the screen. Praise God. Look at the screen. I'm so proud of the screen. He's still working today. He just took last week off. He needed a little vacation, but he's back strong. Genesis 14, the title of the message today, Gaining Muscle in the Mundane. Gaining Muscle in the Mundane. Genesis 14, verse 10 says, as it happened, the valley of the Dead Sea was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into the tar pits. That's a tough way to go. While the rest escaped into the mountains, the victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and food supplies. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew, who lived in Sodom, and carried off everything he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram the Hebrew, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives Eshcol and Aner were Abram's allies. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. Then he pursued Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. And Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. The title was Muscles in the Mundane, Building Muscles in the Mundane. And one of the things I got when I was reading through this, one of these verses came up when I was talking with one of my friends I've known for a long time, and I was sharing with him that I really feel like the season we're in as a church is hand-to-hand combat, that the enemy is attacking, but God is moving, and those things are colliding. And one of the things we were talking about is, man, if you're in hand-to-hand combat, it matters if you are trained. You know what I'm saying? It matters if you are trained. And we were talking about these verses, and when Abram heard the news that Lot had been captured, he mobilized the trained people. He didn't go and say, hey, I know you've never picked up a sword. Why don't you jump in with me? He didn't say, hey, I know you started training last week. Why don't you come with me? He said, give me the trained people. The trained people. And I started thinking about spiritually, would you and I classify ourselves as untrained, as in training, or are we trained? If we got called into battle, where would we fall in that scenario? And one of the questions I get sometimes as a pastor is, what are you doing to train? What does your life look like? One of the things I think the enemy tells people is, oh, what Pastor Phil has, you can't have. Really? That's a lie. I'm going to walk through the most practical sermon I may have ever given today, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm doing, what I've been taught, what's been poured into me to grow spiritually day in and day out. We're going to go through that today, and you are going to see that everything I'm doing to grow spiritually is available to you. There is nothing I am doing that you can't do as well. We're going to put that myth aside. We are going to see that you can grow spiritually in the exact same ways I am. Because, man, the enemy wants you to think, oh, what Pastor Phil has, I can't have. Malarkey. That's a lie. And we're going to put that away today. We're going to go and see today that you and I can be trained spiritually. And the first thing we have to do, I encourage you to take notes. Because if you don't take notes, you may be like your pastor and don't remember what we talked about in 4 weeks, okay? And so take notes. I got my notes. You've got your notes, okay? First thing we've got to do if we want to build muscles, we've got to read the Bible consistently. Read the Bible consistently. Now, none of us are surprised by this answer whatsoever. But the reality is, we're still not all doing it. And so what do I do to grow spiritually when it comes to reading the Bible consistently? And about 6 years ago, back when I was working in business, I wasn't even working in ministry. That was not my job. I was a headhunter. It's also in recruiting, but headhunter just sounds cooler. So I just say headhunter. And so I was just helping construction firms, engineering firms, architectural firms hire people. That's all I was doing. That was my, quote, job. But God put it on my heart to start reading the Bible through start to finish in a year. And this is the sixth year that I'm doing that. And it's just consistency. I read the Bible every day. I predominantly use the Bible app because it pulls up exactly what chapters I need to read. It lets me highlight verses in there. I can make notes in there. I can create images and save those in there. I use the Bible app, but I also use my hard copy Bible. I've had that Bible since I graduated high school. So I highlight in there. I can make notes in there. I use both. I like the Bible app as well because you can, while you're driving down on the road or maybe you're just wanting to sit there, it can read it to you. It can give you the audio Bible. There's not really a right or wrong way to do it. Maybe you may be against the Bible app. You're against technology. That's fine. We're not that way here at this church. We're actually streaming out, you know, out our message right now, and some of you are just horrified. The technology. Burn them at the stake. You can see me after the service, okay? We'll handle it in the parking lot, okay? And so, but that's the way we do it. Bible app. But I'll tell you, if you are going to use the Bible app to read through the Bible, I highly encourage you to turn your phone on airplane mode or do not disturb, because you may have discovered this. Maybe your phone's different than mine. I seem to get a lot of emails, texts, phone calls. Apparently, my car warranty keeps going out. Thank goodness these people care about me and keep calling me about it. I don't know what I would do without them. But I don't even know my car warranty's gone out while I'm trying to do my Bible reading. And so I encourage you, turn on Do Not Disturb or airplane mode, and that way you, if you're using the Bible app on your phone or iPad, you can highlight, you can take notes, you can create images. It's a great way to do it. That's how I do it day in and day out. Now, you may not want to read through the Bible through the year. That may not be what God's calling you to do. That's totally okay. At the start of every year, I ask God, God, is this what you want me to continually do? And every year I have a piece, read through the Bible in a year. I think at worst, you're not going to go wrong with reading the Bible every day. You're not going to go wrong with that. So I encourage you, get in there, do that. We've got different plans, and at the every year, I invite you guys to join in with me. You may not know that. Every year, we invite people. You want to read through the Bible with Pastor Phil? Jump on in as a church. Right now, some of you are going through it right now with us. Has it been going good? Yeah, let's go. Okay. And some of you are like, oh, no, you were in there? Oh, no. It's okay. You can jump in next year, or if you want to jump in with us after this message, you're like, I want to read through the Bible every day, just send me an email. I'll send you the link. You can start reading through the Bible every day with us. The second thing when it comes to reading the Bible, I get this question a lot, is the time of day. Is there a time of day that you read through the Bible? And the question is, yes, in the 24 hours of that day is when I tend to read it. Okay? Now, I'm reading a book called At Your Best by Cary Newhoff. And when I say reading it, I'm listening to the audio version while I drive. But it's At Your Best, and Cary's theory, his theory is that there's points of every day that we're actually at our best. He calls it a green zone, and you may be a morning person, and you're horrified by the rest of us who are not morning people yet, okay? But he would say, if you're a morning person, like, you're at your best from, like, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., maybe that's it. Or he would say, you're a night owl, and you're at your best from 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. Maybe that was back when I was in college, but not anymore. And he says, you're at your best. You've got these 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours every day where you're at your best. Then you've got this zone that he would call like a yellow zone. And he would say, you're pretty good. You're okay there. If you're a morning person, maybe you're pretty good from like 12 to 4 p.m. And then there's the red zone. And the red zone is where we're still awake, but we're not really awake. Have you met anybody like that? You're like, Pastor Phil, that's me right now. I'm in the red zone as soon as you start speaking every week. It's the most bizarre thing. I would encourage you, find those zones, and what you want to do is not do your Bible reading in the red zone. Don't go to read your Bible when you're exhausted, you're not going to get anything out of it, you're not going to be able to receive anything. I would encourage you, find out when you're at your best and put your Bible reading in that time. Because if you want to receive from God, if you want him to start speaking into your life, if you want to get the most out of your Bible reading, do it while you're at your best. And so there's not a certain time or day where I do it. What I try to do, I'm not always perfect, and some of you are just horrified. I'm so sorry that I break the image. I'm not perfect. I need Jesus just like you do. But I try to schedule it because I know with the way my schedule works that if I don't put Bible reading into my calendar at times, what's easy to happen is it not happen. That's what's easy. And I promise you, the enemy is going to give you lots of opportunities to do anything else besides read your Bible during the day. He's got lots of other things. Netflix is going to come out with another show that you could binge watch. You can maybe go do something with your kids. Your job is going to have some other project. You're going to have other things to do besides read your Bible. But if you want to stay in it consistently, pick a time, put it on your schedule, and go, I want to be at my best and receive from this. And sometimes it may change for me. My time of day, I may look at my schedule and go, I've got a bunch of meetings at this time. I know I can plug it in right here. And I try to be flexible because flexibility may be key to doing this consistently. The flexibility may be key to doing it consistently, but I'm always trying to do it when I'm at my best. The third thing, if you want to read the Bible consistently, if you want to make it, you're going to have to give yourself grace. You're going to have to give yourself grace because what inherently happens sometimes when we start trying to do spiritual things consistently is we either, one, burn out or we get super legalistic. Okay, have you ever noticed that? That's what happens, and I don't want you to become super legalistic about it. You're going to have to give yourself grace. So this is year six of me reading through the Bible, and I'm going to give you some inside scoop on what that's looked like the past 5 years. I have had, in the past 5 years, every time I read the Bible, I've missed a day. Whew. I just needed y'all to know. I had to get that off my chest. But I need y'all to know, if you are trying to read through the Bible consistently, this may happen to you. You may miss a day. You may miss a day. I'm going to tell you, all 5 years I've completed the Bible in 1 year, all five of those years, I missed a day. I may have missed 2 days. But you can catch up, and you can finish the Bible in 1 year. And so give yourself grace. You may miss a day, and if you miss a day, the world has not ended. You're not over. You're not spiritually dead. You can stay with it. You know what I've been doing? I've got some friends in the gym. Any of y'all go to the gym with me? I know. I mean, you can say yes. I mean, I know there's some of you. I see you guys, and what's up, guys, in the back? I see y'all rocking the bleachers. You're just like, yeah, I see you, Pastor. Just finish up. The bleachers are uncomfortable. Okay, I'm with you. I got you. But, man, we're not always in the gym every day. If we miss one day in the gym, it's okay. We can come back the next day, and you can still build on what your progress has been. And reading the Bible is the same way. If you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. Get back in it the next day. Have that consistency over time. So you've got to have grace if you're going to read the Bible consistently, because you're going to miss it at some point. And if you don't have any grace when you read the Bible, it's going to become legalistic. But to balance that, you got to have grace. But if you're going to read it consistently, you got to have some discipline. I don't know if you've noticed that. But what I'm going to tell you is I've got good news. If you may not be the most disciplined person on the face of the planet, I've got good news. And it's Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tells us one of the fruits of the Spirit. Once we get saved, Holy Spirit is sent into our life. One of the fruits of Holy Spirit is self-control or self-discipline. Praise God. It's like he looked down at his creation and said, they're never going to make it without Holy Spirit. And he was right. And I want to encourage you that you need to write this down, because this is going to help some of you guys. There's a difference between self-reliance and self-discipline. There's a difference between self-reliance and self-discipline. Self-reliance is learning to trust in yourself. Learning, I can do this on my own. I can become reliant enough. I can do this in my own strength. I'm here to tell you that is not a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of self-control and self-discipline is learning how to obey Holy Spirit in your life consistently for that self-discipline. It's actually learning to do the opposite of trusting in yourself. It's learning to trust in the Lord to lead and guide you. You've got to learn to obey Holy Spirit speaking to you. I think we should all, as followers of Jesus, grow in self-discipline. I don't think, as a follower of Jesus, self-reliance is all that needed. It's helpful. It's helpful to learn I can do stuff, that you don't just crumble when anything happens in life. But spiritually, we need to learn how to follow Holy Spirit and not trust in ourselves. So we need self-discipline. And thank goodness the Lord says, I can help you with that. There's a difference between untrained people and trained people when it comes to reading the Bible, and it's simply those who do it consistently, even when they don't feel like it. If you want to know the difference between trained people and untrained people when it comes to the Bible, it is simply those who read consistently, whether they feel like it or not. Because I'm going to tell you, if you try to read the Bible 365 days in a year, this is going to happen to you. Pastor Jeremy talked about it a couple weeks ago. You're starting to see a trend. You're not going to feel like it every day. You are not going to feel like it every day. And you've got to learn how to do the right things even when you don't feel like it. You've got to learn how to do the right things even when you don't feel like it. And that is through the power of Holy Spirit. And so the second thing that we've got to look at is prayer. And prayer, I get the same question a lot with prayer. Do you have certain times that you pray? Yes, throughout the day. That's how that goes for me. Some people, their prayer life, I've met my mentor, some of them, they love having a block of time that they pray just like they would if they were reading the Bible. And that works great for them, and that may work great for you. What I like to do throughout the day is keep talking to the Lord, because I discover the older I get, the more I need him to talk to me. The more I need some wisdom, the more as the senior pastor, I may be going to this meeting or thinking about this. And what I need in that moment is God to talk to me. And sometimes stuff comes up through the day that I need to keep praying. And so there's a lot of 1, 2, 3 minute prayers throughout the day. I may be heading into a meeting and I'm going to meet with some of you and you're going to tell me about the paint color or this or that that you don't like, not you, someone else. And I'm like, God, help me. Help me, because one, I don't know about paint colors. And two, I want to make sure I show fruits of the Spirit like love, kindness, patience. I think some of you want that from your pastor, right? I have a part of me that's not that way. My wife sees it from time to time. But man, the time of the day is not always important, but the Bible tells us sometimes praying consistently is very important. And I think learning to talk to the Lord throughout the day is important. I talk to him just like he's sitting right there next to me in the car. I talk to him just like he's across the table, and I'm like, God, I don't know what to do about this. And he goes, good, I do. Fantastic. And I'm going to tell you the other part of my prayer life. I leave time to listen. I leave time to listen. This destroys people's prayer life so often. You talk to God, you unload, you dump. You're like, God, I need a girlfriend, I need a boyfriend. God, I need to make more money. God, I need you to help me find a different church because the pastor up there, that dude is crazy. I need your help, God. And then boom, period, it's over, and we move on. Your prayer life will always be at its best when you wait for God to speak as well. Your prayer life will always be at its best when you wait for God to speak to you as well. And maybe when you're even willing, maybe you are trained in the ways of prayer. When you're leading other people in prayer, do you still leave time for God to speak as well? Do we still leave time for God to speak as well? So the time of day for me, it could be while I'm going to work. It could be while I'm going to lunch. It could be when I'm coming home. It could be at the end of the day, something my wife and I, we do together. We've been doing the whole time we've been married is we close every day with prayer together. We pray for you guys. We pray for our church. We pray for other churches. We pray for the things that are going on in our life, what we're asking God for. It's not terribly long. It's just a couple minutes to end every day. It's not a long, drawn-out prayer, okay? I'm going to tell you one thing about myself that just so you know. The time to impress your pastor is not before a meal with prayer. I need you to know, you start with a long-winded prayer before a meal, I immediately do not trust you. Yeah. Because what I'm going to tell you is, there's a lot of other good times for long prayers, and it's not while the food is hot. I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to be like, look, I'm glad you love Jesus that much, but I need you to find a different time because the food's cold. I don't trust people who pray long prayers before meals because I'm like, you could have done this some other time. There was a lot of good other options, but it wasn't while the food was here. So just so you know, if we ever have a meal together, the time to impress me with your long prayer life is not when we get the food, okay? That's just between you, me, Hiwassee, and anyone else joining online. That's for free. Some of y'all are real excited. Feel like I just changed your whole family dynamics. Y'all got that one family member who's still praying before the meal last night. You know what I'm saying? I think prayer should also be something that brings peace. I mean, if we're talking to the Prince of Peace, our prayer life should be designed that at some point there should be peace that is coming into our life when we're talking to the Lord. And if that's not happening, one of the things I always ask people, like if you and I were sitting across the table and you were having coffee and I was having anything else besides coffee, maybe some tea or lemonade, we're coming back up to the spring and summer. No, Aaron is just booing me, in case you're wondering, Hiwassee, just booing recklessly here. But we're sitting across, I would tell you, if your prayer life isn't bringing peace, I would ask how much of your prayer life is designed to submit to Jesus? How much of your prayer life is designed to submit to Jesus? Because inherently, sometimes our prayer life just becomes, let me pour out all of my needs, and God says, bring them to me. I mean, 1 Peter 5 tells us, cast all your anxieties on the Lord. So Jesus has no problem with you dumping all of your baggage and problems on him. He says, bring it on. But if that's all we do, and there's no time for God to speak back to us, there's no time for us to be grateful, there's no time to thank the Lord for what he's doing, no time for him to speak into our life, I don't know how much peace we're going to get out of our prayer life. And I would encourage you, if there's no peace that's happening in your prayer life, I ask out of love, how much of your prayer life is designed to submit to Jesus? And ask God, God, ultimately, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to speak into my life. I want to be led by you, Lord, and not myself. We're told in the Bible, God is a shepherd. And so I would encourage you, how much of it is designed to be submitting to Jesus if it's lacking peace? The difference between someone who is untrained and trained in prayer is simply the one who speaks to God and listens to God. The difference between someone untrained and trained in prayer is simply the one who speaks to God and listens to God. And the other thing, when it comes to prayer, and I'm just going to have everyone just kind of buckle up. You know what I'm saying? You get on the plane and when you're about to take off, you got to buckle up. Can we just all buckle up? We're going to talk about something that sometimes makes us a little uncomfortable, and I'm just going to tell you as the pastor, I don't really care if you get uncomfortable as long as I'm doing something out of love, you know, because if I love you, then sometimes we're going to be uncomfortable if we talk about things. One of the things that helps my prayer life is the gift of tongues, and I know for some people that's like a big no-no, like don't talk about that, but I'm just going to tell you as the pastor of this church, one of the things that grieves my heart is that for some reason in America, we made Holy Spirit so weird. I don't know if you've experienced that. I've been to some weird church services with Holy Spirit, and I'm like, I don't know if that's Holy Spirit. I think that's just you running around with the blanket on your head. Like, that's weird. You know what I'm saying? Or like people were grabbing banners and like having sword fights at the front of the stage. I'm like, I don't know if that's Holy Spirit. I think you just want to play. Like, I don't know. Like, that's weird. But we went to a conference, and even my wife was reminding me, that's one of the things the pastor talked about. It's like, somewhere along the line, we made Holy Spirit so weird. And I'm like, that's devastating, because if you read the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit, and it's really important. Galatians 5 tells us there's fruits of the Spirit that help us become like Christ and not ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us about gifts of the Spirit. Romans tells us about these gifts and things that God does in and through us to bring honor and glory to him. But you know who gets really excited if we get so weirded out by Holy Spirit that we just kind of don't go there? Is the enemy. The enemy loves a church who kind of just inherently goes, Holy Spirit's been having some weird stuff happen in the past. We're just going to not go there. And we're not really going to believe in the Trinity anymore. We're kind of just God and Jesus. And we'll acknowledge Holy Spirit's real, but we're not going to really be open to Holy Spirit doing something in our life. The enemy's going to win that every time. Because if you and I want to bring the most honor and glory to the Lord, if we want to be the most Christ-like as possible, we have to have Holy Spirit moving in our life. We have to have those fruits growing in our life. We have to be using gifts that Holy Spirit gives to bring honor to the Lord. And I'm not going to go into this a ton, but if you have a lot of questions on Holy Spirit, I encourage you to go back and watch a message on our YouTube channel called Who is Holy Spirit? And I try to walk through all of this, but the gift of tongues is something that I started to desire to expand my prayer life, and it has been a huge blessing in my prayer life. And some of you don't know that I speak in tongues. That's the point. Okay? We're not going to be a church where we need you to know who speaks in tongues or not. That's not what we're going to be. I know some of you get excited when Holy Spirit starts to move and you want to run around the gym. I get that. I get that when Holy Spirit's, please don't. We have tarps out. I don't know if you discover the tarps. They have been a tripping hazard once or twice. We're having a vertical summit after the church service today. We're going to talk about our building, all things going on. And I know the main thing you want to know is not even when we get in the building, are we going to have tarps? I'm here to tell you. We will not have tarps on the floor in the new building. Praise Jesus. Yes. All right. But if you really want to grow your prayer life, I would encourage you, what's your relationship with Holy Spirit look like? What's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you saying, Holy Spirit, come move in my life. Come grow things in my life that are biblical. You know, because that's what we want to be as a church. I'm just going to tell you, Pastor, I will never, ever try to force anything of Holy Spirit on you. I won't. Absolutely. I'll never try to force you to follow Jesus. But we're going to be a church who tries to be open to what the Bible teaches. And the Bible does teach us that Holy Spirit sent to us to help us be like Christ, to give us fruits of the Spirit, to give us gifts. We're not going to be a church that ever forces that on you. Absolutely not, as long as I'm here. But we are going to tell you it's available. We are going to tell you it's available. And if you've got questions, email me. Go back and listen to that message. But Holy Spirit has been a huge blessing in my prayer life. The next thing is worship. Worship. And this is so key if you're wanting to be someone trained spiritually. I find it easy to worship. You know, when Caroline and the team gets up, I mean, or in Hiawassee, Josh, Kelly, and Courtney, and that whole team gets up, it's easy to worship. I don't know if y'all have experienced that. I find it easier to worship here on Sunday morning than I do in my car or other times. I like to worship here. I get so sad when the pastor's got to come and give a sermon. I'm like, gosh, does he have to? Let's just keep going to worship. But worship's so key, but I think the Bible teaches us that worship should be going on every day of the week. Worship should go on every day of the week, whether it's at your house, you close the door, you turn on your favorite worship team or your favorite worship song. You may get some hymns going, and you may get the hymns going and the hands going. Praise God. I wish they did more hymns on Sunday morning. I don't know if Caroline doesn't know them. She seems younger. Maybe she's never heard the hymns. Maybe I'll email her hymns. Please don't do that. If Caroline comes in this week and she says, Pastor Phil, I'm getting a lot of emails and just people sending me hymns, y'all, we're going to have to talk. Please don't do that to Caroline. Caroline is aware there's hymns, I promise. But you may love hymns. Turn them on during the week. I like to listen to worship music in the car especially. I'm just like, Jesus, I want to put my attention on you and not myself. One of the things that builds anxiety in my life the most is when I get trapped in futuristic thinking. I get start thinking about everything that could potentially happen. You know when my anxiety goes down, I stop listening to that and start worshiping Jesus. Man, that's powerful. Yeah, what's up, bright side? Yeah, y'all got it. And so I encourage you, worship. But worship is more than just the music. It's how we live our life. If you go read the story in the Bible, they were potentially going to have to sacrifice his first son, Isaac. And you know what he describes it before he goes up on the mountain? We need to do a sermon on this at some point, talk to the pastor. But he says, we're going to go over there and worship, and we'll both come back. Worship was an act of faith in that moment. In that moment where he may have to give up his first son, it was faith. It was worship. How you handle your finances during the week is worship. God may have been speaking to you about giving toward missions, and you're like, oh, no, no, no. I may have to give up eating out again this week or something. Well, who do you really worship then? Is it the God who's asking you to do something? Or Longhorns? And I know Longhorns, they bring out the bread beforehand. Praise God. We love carbs at this church. That's one of our values. We love carbs. Jesus is the bread of life. Man, if God asks us to step out in faith and do something with our finances, to trust him, that's worship. With how you and I talk to people, maybe at Ingles or at the restaurants or they come to work on the house or just anyone we encounter, the way we treat people, it's worship. Does God get honor and glory from that interaction? With how you live your life Monday through Saturday, is there worship with how we're conducting ourselves? Do we go, God, I want you to get honor and glory from how I treat people, maybe my spouse or my kids or my family? But is there worship going on in our life? Because I think we should always look and go, God, how are you being honored in everything I'm doing? Before I tithe, I give online. And it's this moment where before I click give, I try to say a prayer. Before I click give online, before I send in that tithe, I try to pray, God, I want to do what you've asked me to do. I want to submit to you, and I'm going to ask that you use this tithe to bring honor and glory to you, to advance your mission, your callings, what you want to see happen. Use this, God. And I think that's what tithing was designed to do, was to get us to check our hearts that we're not loving money more than obeying Jesus, obeying the Lord. And so I try to just say a quick prayer before I tithe or before I give an offering, maybe to help send missionaries or help a local organization serve Jesus. I try to pray before those giving moments and say, God, I don't want to love more money more than I want to love you. That should happen during the week. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is community. I think if we want to go from being untrained to trained spiritually, we've got to be in community. As long as I've been following Jesus, I've been in community. When I first got right with the Lord back in college, Lee University, what's up, Lee University? I hear we got revival breaking out at the college. Let's go. Yeah. It's almost like as a church, we've been praying and fasting for this. Almost like that's been happening and believing it's coming. And then, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, it's coming to North Georgia. I don't know when it's going to happen. That's not up to me, but we're going to pray and fast, and it's coming. That's right. But community, I've always been in community. At Lee University, every floor of every dorm had a Bible study at 10 p.m. And you can tell they're college students because ain't none of us coming to that. But 10 p.m., we'd have Bible study. And so I was involved in Bible studies then. After I graduated college, I taught a Bible study at a local church here in North Georgia. After that, I went back into ministry, led Bible studies, got married, was out of ministry, working in business. My wife and I, we led a youth group for a while. After that, we started another different community group. When we moved up here and became an associate pastor, we started a community group. Our entire life has been about being in community. That's important. And you're going to see it at Vertical Church, and I know this is different for some people. We've got different groups. We've got people who do like exegetical Bible study, and they dig in, and it's rich, and it's deep. And then we've got another group who goes golfing, and it's confusing for people. Like, how are those both groups? Both of those are designed to help people have a community that can help point them to Jesus. And yeah, let's give it up. And I want you guys to hear from me as a church. As a pastor, I believe in the importance of both of those groups. Just so you know, from the pulpit down, I believe in the importance of both of those groups. Something that you may have discovered about our church, we tend to celebrate and pray for other Bible-believing churches. That's in our DNA, but it should also be inside of our own church. You may go to a group and you love your group. I'm glad you love your group. Keep going to your group. I'm glad you love your group. Do you pray for the other groups inside of Vertical Church? You may not go to the other group. You may go, I don't want to play golf, or I may not want to go fishing, or I'm not really looking for an exegetical Bible study right now. I want to go talk about the sermon and what God's doing in my life. Can you pray for other groups, though? Because they're serving a God-given purpose. That's why we pray for the other churches. I understand that you're here at Vertical Church, and you love Vertical Church, and I'm glad for that. But we need to believe that God can still work at other churches, even if we wouldn't attend there. We got to say, God, I want you to bring revival at that church. I may not attend there, but I want you to bring revival. I want people to be convicted of their sin, turn from their ways, follow you. I want to see God move at other churches. That's what we believe here. We shouldn't have to go, all right, that's the place I would attend, so then I'll pray God moves there. We should have that mentality with other Bible-believing churches, and we should have that mentality inside of this church. Yeah, I may not attend that group over there, but I want to pray God moves. He uses that group for his honor and glory. We pray for the other churches, even though we may not attend there. We pray for God's honor and glory to be brought about through that church. Because, man, as soon as we start getting a little bit divisive, the enemy wins. The enemy wins. But when we bring unity together of like, hey, I don't know that I'd go to your church, but I know you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one is coming to the Father except through him, I'm praying you win. I'm praying that God's honor and glory is brought about at your church, and that you see Holy Spirit move and convict people of their sins, and that he helps bring about fruits of the Spirit. We want to see your church win. That's got to be in our DNA always as a church. As I understand, you're not supposed to go to every group. I can't go to every group. In case you're wondering, I can't get around. I try my best to get around to the different groups. I can't get everyone, but I'm praying your group wins. I'm praying that God gets honor and glory from your group. Because, man, that's what we need. And in community, trained people work with other trained people. I guarantee you, when those 318 trained people went out, you know what they did? They worked together in battle. If the worship team wants to come back up, I'm going to close this out with just a couple thoughts. As we went through all of this today, you may have realized I don't know that I'm trained in any of these things. You may have looked at the area and say, I'm kind of untrained when it comes to the Bible. I'm untrained when it comes to prayer. I'm untrained when it comes to worship. I'm untrained when it comes to community. I've got really good news. That by the grace of God, that can change. The grace of God, that can change. Everything that we just described today is available to you. We want to exist as a church to help you be trained. We want to be a church who comes alongside of you and says, we're here for you. We believe in you. We want to work with you. We want to give you resources and opportunities to plug in. We want to be there for you. Maybe you realize you're in training. You're like, yeah, God's doing something in my life. I'm trying to be in the Bible. I'm trying to pray. I'm looking to have Holy Spirit grow fruits in my life. I'm looking to worship. I'm looking to get in communion. I'm in training. Fantastic. That's great news. And some of you may be trained, and you've been trained so long, but you're not training anybody else. And I'm here to tell you something. I'm going to go and tell you what's about to happen at our church, in case you don't know. There's a real possibility that Vertical Church is going to double in size this year. Okay, yes, clapping. I'm excited too. But I can tell you, one of the things that's on my heart as a pastor is we're about to double in size potentially. Where are those people going to go and to get in groups? Where are those people going to come into our church and say, there's a place for me? This is the place I can come in and get trained, or this is the place I can train. This is where I can get involved. And it may be time if you are trained, where you need to start a group. You need to create a space to pour into people and say, I will give whatever I can to help you live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. And you've been comfortable a long time being trained. And it's uncomfortable to step out. But the time's coming where, for the kingdom of God, we need you to. We need you to be a trained person who now trains other people. Because they're coming. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have no interest as a pastor just growing numerically as a church. That's so uninteresting to me. That does nothing for the kingdom of heaven, really. I want to be a church where whoever God does bring in through the doors, whether it's 100 people or 1,000 people, we look at them and go, we will do whatever we can for you to step into the plans and purposes God has for you. And one of the things those people who are coming, they need is community to help sharpen them, to help them understand the Bible, to find a group of people that will encourage and challenge them spiritually. It's an area as a church we can get better. And so I want to ask, maybe is it time for you to start a group? And maybe you've got questions. That's great. We want to help answer them. This is a church, I'm just going to tell you, I want you to be able to ask questions. You may have attended a church where questions were bad. I'm going to tell you, as the senior pastor, I view questions as good. I view questions as good because it means you want to learn. It means you want to understand. Don't ever be scared to ask questions. And maybe you want to start a group. Go talk to Courtney over in Hiawassee. Come talk to Chris over here in Morrington and say, I'm interested in starting a group, but I don't really know what that looks like. I may need some help. I may need some support. Fantastic. We'd love to help you do that. Because what we need in this day and age is people who are trained when it comes to being in the Bible, people who are trained when it comes to being in prayer, people who are trained when it comes to worship, people who are trained when it comes to community. We have to keep seeking that as a church and never giving up on that. And so as we close out in prayer, I don't know if any of our prayer people want to come to the side. Maybe you know God's doing something in your life and you're like, I need someone to encourage me. I need someone to pray for me because I feel like this is pushing me. It's out of my comfort zone. I want someone to pray over me and encourage me. Fantastic. Come forward and we'll pray with you. If you're in Hiawassee, step in the back. We'll have a prayer leader back there in Hiawassee. I didn't tell them that. So right now, someone in Hiawassee, step out in faith and go be a prayer leader. But man, our time's now. We get one shot at this life. We get one shot at this life. And are you going to look back at the end of your life and go, I spent it trying to help other people become who Jesus is calling them to be? Lord, come and do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, come and help us be more like Jesus and not ourselves. Birth new fruits and gifts in us that we may honor and glorify the Lord in all that we do, because Jesus, we want to submit to you and not ourselves. Help us to be everything you are calling us to be as a church, because we want to honor you, we want to glorify you, we want to celebrate all that you're doing, God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.